Good evening. We welcome you to the service. We're glad that you're here, and it's good to be able to come back on the Lord's Day to worship Him. We've had some beautiful fall weather, and it's good to be here again this evening. We have a number of our own who are out, and so your presence here is encouraging to maybe fill in the gaps of those who are away from us. We need to keep them in mind in our prayers and that they might have a safe return, and we appreciate all of our visitors. This evening, we want to look a little bit in the life of Abraham, and we want to answer the question, why did he wander? Why was he a sojourner? Why did he go about living in tents? And when you consider this question, you find that it is very practical for our lives even today. We're not going home this evening to live in a tent. If we had a choice this evening to go spend the night in a tent or go home and spend the night in our home, I'm sure we'd pick our home. We just simply do not view a tent as that which is comfortable. And yet, spiritually speaking, that needs to be our thinking, that as we go through life, we're living in tents. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. When I consider the life of Abraham, and when we study the life of Abraham in God's Word, there are many lessons that we could look at. For example, if you'll turn with me to the book of Romans, when the Apostle Paul looks at the life of Abraham, especially in chapter 4, he wants to make the point that Abraham, when he was called by God, lived a life of faith, and that he was constantly obedient to what God said. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 12, he's described as the father of circumcision to them who not only are of circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. The Apostle Paul uses Abraham as someone who just constantly had steps of faith. He was always listening to what God said and doing what God said. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And when you begin reading in verse 17, by faith Abraham, being tested or tried, offered up Isaac. One well-known lesson of Abraham is taken from this story in Genesis chapter 22, where God called him to offer up Isaac there on Mount Moriah, and how he went and did that. And at the end of Genesis 22, he's commended for his great faith, doing whatever God says to do, even if it means offering up your own son. Turn with me to James chapter 2. James refers to this same event in James chapter 2, and he wants to make the point that faith is active. Faith is obedient. Faith is not just dead. It's not just something that we mentally think about in our mind, but we're working it out in our daily lives. And so it must be working in order to be perfect or complete. In James chapter 2 and verse 21, Abraham, our father, was justified by works in that he offered up Isaac, his son. And he goes on to talk about there in verses 23 and 24 that faith, in order to be perfect or complete, has to show itself in obedience or works. When you look at the life of Abraham, clearly there are a number of important lessons there. And one of the main ones is the importance of daily active faith and service to God. But this evening, we want to look at something a little bit different in the life of Abraham. It goes along with that, but a little bit different angle. And that is that when Abraham obeyed God and he left his homeland, why was it that he was always wandering about? Why was he living in tents? Why did he never settle down? That's our admonition, and that's our question this evening that we want to consider. If you'll turn back to Hebrews chapter 11 and come with me to verse 8, I want to do some reading this evening in God's Word as we begin our lesson. We want to read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. And we want to look at this question this evening. Why did Abraham wander? And then apply the lesson to our lives today. And what we're going to find is that for our young Christians and for old alike, that we have to have a mentality of Abraham. We have to have the mentality that we are sojourners in this world that we're in. And I forgot to tell Eric, he was leading singing this evening, I wanted him to lead "This World Is Not My Home" right before the sermon. And I forgot to tell him that, because that's what goes along with our lesson. We sing in our songbooks, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." My question this evening, brethren and friends, is this. Is that really true of our life? We're just passing through? Is that true of our life? When we look at how we live and how we think and in our attitude when we get up each day? Is it, I'm just passing through? Or is it more of, I want to settle down and this world is my home? What is our attitude toward the things of this life versus what is going to happen in the judgment day? So we sing, this world is not my home, but some people don't live like that. We sing, I'm just a passing through, but when you look at their life, it really doesn't exhibit that. They're wanting the things of this world. They're wanting to be like this world. So when we sing, I'm just a passing through, is that really the case? And so we want to learn from Abraham this evening the importance of being a sojourner where we're just passing through. And we're going to keep our eyes really on what's more important, and that is going to heaven. But turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to begin reading in verse 8 this evening. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, that is, called from his homeland, he lived in Ur, a city in Mesopotamia. And in Genesis chapter 12, latter part of chapter 11, the first part of chapter 12, God calls him when he's living over there and he says, come to Canaan land. And so when he was called, that is, by God, to leave his homeland, when he was called, obeyed, to go out unto a place, Canaan, which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. One version says, not understanding. When Abraham was walking, he knew, I mean, he knows north, south, east, and west. That's not what that verse means. He didn't know where he was going, like he was blindfolded. He didn't fully understand this complete plan that God has for him, but because God told him to do that, he did that. By faith, verse 9, he became a sojourner in the land of promise. That's Canaan land, away from his own homeland where he had grown up, as in a land not his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He didn't have a big house. He didn't settle down. He didn't put down roots, as we say today. The word sojourner, the English word sojourner in verse 9, comes from an old word that means literally by the day or under the day. It comes from a Latin word. Where you go here and you stay for a day. And you go there and you stay for a day. And so it becomes meaning somebody who moves around. Some versions have pilgrims. Some versions have aliens. I noticed it, the scripture that was read this evening that Dylan had. An alien. We think of someone who's a foreigner. A stranger. Someone who's out of place. And they're there temporarily, you see. And notice the temporary nature in verse 9 of dwelling in tents. Had he gotten to Canaan and then just the first day just built him a big old house, what would have Abraham's thinking have been? Well, I'm planted here, I'm here to stay, and I just built this big old house. No, it's tents. And when you read Genesis 12 through 25, the story of Abraham, he's moving around. In fact, in chapter 12, he's moving around a lot and then goes down to Egypt. And there's a lot of moving around. There's a purpose for that. There's a reason for that. As we keep reading, we'll find out. Look at verse 10. For he looked for the city which hath the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He wants a city. He does want to settle down. And when we think of a city, what do we think of? We think of a place where there's a lot of homes. And Springfield, inside the city limits, there's a lot of homes, you see. And so a city is an idea of a permanent place. He wanted a city, but not in Canaan. He wanted a place to settle down, but not in Canaan. And so he's wandering, he's moving about, because this life, this earth, is not what he wants to be attached to. He wants to be attached to that heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. Keep reading verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself received power to conceive seed when she was past age, since she counted him faithful who had promised. Wherefore also there sprang of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the heaven in multitude. That's talking about the children of Israel that came from Abraham and Sarah through Isaac and Jacob and so forth. Which is innumerable, which is by the seashore. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 was told, I'm going to give you a great nation, I'm going to give you a land, and I'm going to bring the Christ through you. But you know what? He lived and died not seeing any of that literally. He never saw the land as something that was owned by his people. He never saw the great nation that came about during the time of Moses. He never saw that 400 years later. He never saw the Christ. And so he was given promises, but he never saw them in the sense of fully realized them. And so he died, not having received the promises. That is the fulfillment of them. But he kept doing what God said to do. He was one stop in a long chain of events, and it was fine with him that he had to do what God said, even though I don't get to fully realize the complete fulfillment of it. I am one stop in a long chain of events, and that's fine with me. So look at verse 13. Having seen them and greeted them from afar. He could see by the eye of faith that way down the road the Christ would come. In fact, Jesus says in John 8 that Abraham saw my day. He saw my day. By faith, Abraham saw that there would be a coming Christ one day. By faith, Abraham could see a great nation and see a great land, but he never saw that personally in his own lifetime. He just simply had to greet them from afar, having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And some versions there say this idea of aliens. For they that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking after a country of their own. It's interesting, the word translated country there is literally fatherland. We hear about some nations, the motherland, and so they'll go to war for the motherland. This is the fatherland. This is, I want to settle down here. But look at this country. If indeed they had been mindful of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country. The word better is the theme in the book of Hebrews. It shows up several times. The writer of Hebrews is trying to get these Jewish Christians not to go back to the old law because you have better things. And so he mentions a better covenant, you see, and a better hope and a better resurrection. He mentions these better things, and this is one of them, a better country. But what kind is it, a better country, that is a heavenly? Look at it. Abraham wanted to live in a city, but the one in heaven. He wanted to have a country, but the one in heaven. You see, he was not attached to this world. And that's the theme of our lesson this evening. We want to consider this question, why did Abraham wander? Because he was not attached to this world. And his actions and his attitudes show that. He just simply wants to pass through so that one day I can get to that heavenly city. So that one day I can get to that heavenly country. And that's the attitude that we have, we must have in our life today. He desires a better country, that is a heavenly, verse 16. Wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And so in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, God's people in heaven around the throne are likened unto a great city there. And we sing about that, and we read about that in Revelation 21 and 22. Abraham had no physical inheritance, and he was fine with that. He just simply wanted to live in tents. Turn with me to Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is preaching about Abraham in Acts chapter 7. He starts with Abraham and then works his way up through Old Testament history in order to preach his sermon there in Jerusalem. And he starts with Abraham. Notice what he says there in Acts chapter 7. Brethren and fathers, verse 2, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. That's the last part of Genesis 11, the first few verses of Genesis 12. Ur is the city. Before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, get thee out of thy land and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, God removed him into this land. And Stephen is preaching in Jerusalem at this point. And so he's talking about this land, this Palestine, Jerusalem, wherein you now dwell, and he gave him none inheritance in it. Look at it, verse 5. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Why? Because he was wandering. He was constantly passing through. He didn't have one thing that he could even set his foot on and say, this is mine and I'm staying here and I'm living here. What does that tell us about Abraham? Well, it tells us why he wandered about. He wandered about because his city was in heaven. His country was in heaven. And the things of this earth and the things of this life are just simply temporary. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. So, we need to understand that as Christians, we are to be the same. Let's look at our scripture reading that Dylan had this evening. The word sojourner is not really used that many times in the New Testament. It's used here, and it's used for the story of Abraham. And it just simply means someone who is passing through. And as Christians, the point of the lesson this evening is we're to be the same. We're to be like Abraham. And so Peter appeals to Christians. He says, I beseech you as sojourners. I'm begging you. I'm appealing to you right now that you be a sojourner and a pilgrim. Of course, we understand that our country was formed by the pilgrims, right? In the early 1600s, they leave Europe. They leave Southampton, London. They get on a boat. They meet up with some other folks coming from another area. And we've got the pilgrims coming over. And many lost their lives that first winter. They left about September. And about a month later, they get on, you know, up around Massachusetts area. And it's a hard winter for them. They're called the pilgrims. Well, why do our Bibles use that English word? Someone who's traveling, someone who's leaving one place for another, you see. Well, that's what we are to be as Christians. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We're going to come back to this verse later in the lesson. But notice here that Christians are described as sojourners and pilgrims. Look at chapter 1 with me, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect, Christians, to the elect who are sojourners of the dispersion. Brethren are described here as those who are just passing through life. But is that really, can we look at the things that we have? Can we look at our priorities? Can we look at our attitudes, our discussions about things, and say we're really just passing through? Or if someone were to hear us, if they were to see us, would it be more like, no, this world really is his home? You can tell by the way he talks. You can tell by their priorities, you see, that this really is their home. It needs to be such that when people look at us, they see that we're just simply passing through. And we're going to see what that's going to take in just a moment. What kinds of things do they need to see in our life? Abraham was not attached to this world, and neither should we be. And that really is the point of the lesson. Why did Abraham wander? So that he would not become too attached to this world. And we want to look at that as an admonition this evening. When we sing, "This world is not my home," we need to mean that and practice that. When we say, "I'm just passing through," we need to mean that and practice that. So the question I ask this evening is, are we too attached? Can someone look at us and see our priorities and see our attitudes and see the way we live and say, well, you know, it really looks like they're attached to this world? When Abraham left, he brought some family with him. Do you remember his nephew that he brought? Do you remember Lot? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 13, and I want to consider, to help us understand this point, I want us to consider Lot for just a moment by way of contrast. How can we help to see if we're too attached or not to this world? How can we help to see if we're really wandering and sojourning? Well, one way to do that is we can do that by way of contrast. We can see what it means to be too attached. We can see what it means to settle down and let this world be our life. And one way to do that is to look at Abraham's nephew. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 13 when the herds of Abraham and Lot got so great that they were crowding each other out. There wasn't enough for the animals to eat and so forth. And so Abraham and Lot decide to part. And do you remember the decision that Lot made and how he made that decision? Genesis 13, verse 10, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before Jehovah destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of Jehovah, like the land of Egypt, as thou goest unto Zoar. So Lot chose him all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from another. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and moved his tent as far as Sodom." Now we're going from a nomadic life to, I want to go live in town. And you know what? He goes and he lives in town. What does Abraham do? Abraham continues to move about. Abraham continues to move about. But Lot has moved into town. He's moved into town. And turn with me now to Genesis chapter 19. What did Lot give up when he moved into town? Did he have that tent anymore? Did Lot have a tent when he moved into town? No, turn to Genesis chapter 19, when God comes to punish the people of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their homosexuality. And so the angels show up there. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1, knock, knock, knock on Lot's what? Well, he's got a house now. Lot's got a house. And so Lot has put down roots. I want to move into town and I want to get me a house. I'm tired of these tents. We've been out here in these dusty old tents. And if you've ever gone camping, I'll tell you what, just 1, 2, 3 days, that's pretty rough, isn't it? Can you imagine a lifelong journey of just living in tents? Hebrews 11, 8 and 9, Abraham dwelt in tents, you see. Lot's like, I'm tired of this. There is this well-watered plain down here, and I can move into town, and I can get me a house, and I'm going to raise my family there. What happened to him? What happened to him? We know the story. He lost it. He lost it. But oh, he had a house, and he moved into a city, you see, and I'm going to put down roots here, and here's where I'm going to raise my daughters, and that they're going to be raised here, and they're going to get some husbands here. You know, he had son-in-laws, you know. But what did he lose? What did he lose? And what did he get? Well, we know the story of Genesis chapter 19, how that when the two angels came to Sodom and Eve, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. In the Bible, someone sitting at the gate is someone who has some reputable character in town. They are chosen to sit there to make decisions. So Lot, number one, has moved into town and he's got him a house. Number two, apparently he's moved up the social ladder enough to where now he's sitting at the gate and he's one of those older men, you know, who make decisions in town. But what kind of a town is it? It's a town of great wickedness. My point is simply this, that when we start having this approach, well, you know, this is where I live. And this is what I own. And this is what I have. We've got to be very careful that we're just not letting the world come in and be a part of our life. Obviously, we have to have food, shelter, and clothing. But it's our attitude toward those things that makes a big difference. So we know that he has a house, and the angels come to the house. You see, he's got daughters. Look at verse 12. He has sons-in-law. They've been raised there. They found some guys there. But we know that when it comes time to get them out of town, they're dragging their feet. And verse 15, the angels have to hasten. Oh, I don't want to leave my house. I got a house here. And this is a nice town. And the angels grab them and bring them out. And we know that Lot's wife looks back. And we know that the daughters are corrupt because you turn to chapter 19 and verse 30. And when they escape Sodom and Gomorrah, it's not over with yet because they go up into the mountain and the daughters want to lie carnally with their own father. Where did they get that idea? They got it from the world. And so, brethren and friends, we've got to be careful about this attitude of, well, you know, I'm just going to get me a house in a city and I'm going to settle down. No, 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 no. Physically, we have to do some things like that. But in our spirituality, we must always be thinking, I'm just a passing through. And I'm not going to let the world affect me. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 with me. And let's look at this Lot. And let's see what he had to go through. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, having made them an example unto those that should live ungodly. The homosexual community and situation today needs to look at this as an example of ungodliness and realize that that's going to happen to them in the judgment day rather than flaunting the whole thing and dismissing the whole thing and being proud about that. They need to be looking at this as an example of ungodliness. But notice Lot, an example of ungodliness, and delivered righteous Lot, sore distressed by the lascivious life of the wicked, that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with lawless deeds. Well, I'm going to get me a house and I'm going to move into town. Well, you do that, then it's just constant hearing and seeing, and it's just surrounded by us. And he lost his daughters over it. He lost his wife over it. But what did he get? Well, I got me a house in town. And so, brethren, to help us to see this idea of wandering, what was Abraham doing when he was doing all that? He was still wandering. He's out wandering around. Are we an Abraham or are we a Lot? That's what we need to ask. Are we wandering? Are we sojourning in tents, as it were? Or are we just, well, I'm just going to put roots down in this world? Well, to help answer that question, I want us to turn our attention now to some New Testament passages to help us to answer this question and honestly look at our lives as individual Christians, as parents, as young Christians who are here this evening. But before we do that, consider how we find this, it actually does affect people. You can tell that some people are just too attached to this world. You try to talk with someone about obeying the gospel, and they don't want to talk about spiritual things. They'll barely give you time about that. They can't bring themselves to obey the gospel. When you talk to them, it's about my job and my money and my this and my that and my life and things I want to do. And I've got this place I want to go and I want to buy this. Well, let's talk about the... I don't want to talk about the gospel. They're way too attached to this world. They don't want to learn about how to be saved. Don't talk with me about sin. I got stuff I got to do. I got my life. I got my job. I got to get up tomorrow and go to work. And I'm doing this and doing that. Got my retirement, you see. Well, can we talk? Nah, I don't want to talk about the gospel. And there are many, many people like that. They just can't bring themselves to obey because they've got things they got to do in life. They got places to go, you see. What about members of the church? What about the unfaithful Christian who regularly misses services? Just regularly. And just little old excuses. Excuses that they wouldn't even use at their own work. But they'll use them with the brethren. They've just got too much going on with this life. Well, I got to sleep and got to watch TV and got to run some errands. You too attached to this world? What about the immature Christian who refuses to grow up? They come to a lot of the services, maybe all of the services. But they're the ones that are always causing problems with the brethren. Can never get along with the elders, can never get along with the other members. Always some divisive thing, some problem, some argument, some little riff. You know, there's always something. And that when that little fire gets put out, and then they cause another fire somewhere. It's almost like they come to services to see what problems they can cause. Too attached to this world, too worldly or carnally minded. And then there's the worldly Christian who occasionally engages in immorality. Just can't quite, you know, give it up. So you hear that, you know, they've dipped into this problem and they're dipping into that problem. And the basic problem is this world is our home. And we want to get it while we can. We want to get all the gusto while we can. We want to live it up while we can. We want to enjoy it while we can. Instead of passing through and keeping our eye on that heavenly city and that heavenly country, we're getting bogged down like Lot. You know, I think I'll just camp out a little bit in Sodom and buy me a house there. So, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at a series of questions as we close our lesson this evening to help us to answer the question, are you too attached to this world? Am I too attached to this world? Let's let God's Word help us answer that question. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And let's look at some passages this evening. There are about six of them that I'd like to look at that mention the idea of the world, the earth that we live on, and the world that we're in, and some things that are said about that to help us to answer the question, are you too attached? Are you Abraham or are you Lot? Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven," the spiritual things that we do. Obedience to the gospel and the other spiritual works that we do, laying up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth consume and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. Where is your treasure this evening? Is it really the things of this earth? You talk about, well, what I own and what I have and what I buy. Or is it a spiritual conversation? Where is your heart? Where your heart's where your treasure is. But are we laying up just things of this life, things that we buy, things that we own, physical things? Or is it doing good works, obedience, spiritual things, laying up treasures in heaven? And then notice with me in verse 25, Jesus talks about not being anxious for your life and eating and body, what we put on our body. And he begins to talk about mammon, the things of this life. Verse 24, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is an old word that just simply means the riches of this life, the things of this world, physical things. We've got to serve God and not those things. But he goes on to talk about those who have great care for mammon and the physical things. And look at verse 32, for after all these things, the physical things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God will provide food, shelter, and clothing. We don't need to be going out seeking that to the extent that that is our goal. That's all we live for. Verse 33, but seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So number one, where's our treasure? Well, I got to work, and I got to do overtime, and I got to buy things, and I got to pay bills, and I got to do this. I can't come to church services. I may or may not be there. No, put first the kingdom. And putting first the kingdom deals with attendance. I appreciated Jesse this past week in our gospel meeting touching on those types of things. I think sometimes those things fall through the cracks. I'm glad he had touched on attendance. And a lot of times we can be here, but we choose not to. But what we choose to do in place of that is not putting the kingdom first. And it's not just attendance, it's other things, other works that we need to be doing, evangelizing, edifying those who are saved, being benevolent. There's other things we need to be doing in the Lord's work besides attendance, but that is a big factor. That's a big marker. Where's your treasure? When you answer that, then we'll see if we're too attached to this world or not. Are we putting the kingdom first or me? And I just don't feel. Whatever happened to God wants me to do this, and I'm going to get up even though I may not feel. There are people, myself included, who are here all the time and they don't feel good. Oh, I just don't feel good. What? If everybody took that approach, this building would be empty. Sometimes we're here when we don't feel good. And sometimes we're doing things here at the very moment that we're not feeling good. But we put the kingdom first. We sacrifice a little bit. We're getting away from that, brethren. Well, if it's just completely convenient, I'll be there. Whatever happened to sacrifice? Whatever happened to putting the kingdom first, you see? we begin to see if we're really too attached to this world or not. Look at number two. Turn with me to Matthew 16 and verse 26. What are you seeking to gain? Things of this life or making sure that you're right, your life is right with God? In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, what shall a man be profited if he gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What shall a man give in exchange for his life? He had just been talking about in verse 26 that whosoever would come after me needs to deny himself and follow me, take up his cross. And then he says there are some people, verse 26, that what they want to gain is the whole world. Whether it's Donald Trump or whoever, you know, building the biggest building, buying the biggest building, building the biggest building, Trump Tower, or the biggest building in Dubai, and what I can buy with my money and what I can gain with that, and then they're going to lose their soul because they never obeyed the gospel. Are we too attached to this world where I'm going to go home and I'm going to worry about my money and my things? How about going home worrying about your soul? Is it right with God? Is my soul right with God? That's what I need to go home and consider. Well, I can sit back because, you know, I've just had a good life. And look at all the things that I've gained. And Jesus said, what if you were to gain even the whole world but lose your soul? What does it profit? I'm too attached to this world. When I sit and my concern is what I've bought and what I own, and I'm neglecting my soul. I've not obeyed the gospel properly, or I have, and I've slipped away, and I've fallen away, and I'm not coming back. I need to be thinking about that, not about the things that I can have in the world. Verse 27, the Son of Man's going to come, and He's going to judge us according to our deeds. Verse 27, the judgment day, we need to be ready for that. Am I too attached? Am I like Lot? Or am I like Abraham? Turn with me to Philippians 3:19. These passages are helping us to answer that question. And we have to go home and honestly evaluate ourselves. We have the responsibility this evening to take these questions and honestly evaluate ourselves. Another one is, where is our mind? Where is our thinking? Turn with me to Philippians 3:19. There are those, Paul says, who are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is perdition or loss. They're going to be lost. Whose God, small g, is the belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And underscore in your Bible, whose God is the belly. Now, we think, well, that's just that outright selfish person. I'm not like that. But anytime I'm selfish and I won't do what God wants me to do, my God is my belly. But look at the contrast in verse 20. You, brethren, our citizenship is in heaven. We're not minding earthly things, verse 19. We're not attached to this earth. We're not minding earthly things. We're not going to be selfish. Back up to chapter 2 and verse 3. Do nothing through vain glory. Verse 4, not looking each of you to his own things. Philippians 2, 4, we're not going to be selfish. Chapter 3, 19, we're not going to mind earthly things and end up being a selfish person. If I'm selfish and I come in here or in my family or anywhere else and I act selfishly, I'm minding earthly things and I'm too attached to this world. If I'm just passing through and working toward the heavenly goal, then I'm selfless. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If you were raised together with Christ, and that's talking about being raised up out of the waters of baptism. If you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above. Abraham looked for a city. A city. Well, the one that Lot was in? No. The city whose builder and maker is God. It's up there. Keep your minds on things that are above. Yes, we want a city one day. And we want a country one day, but it's not here. It's not Springfield. It's not America. It's heavenly. So seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set not your mind on the things that are on the earth. When I set my mind on the things that are on the earth, then I'm too attached. Well, what would be an indication of some of that? Come down with me now to verse 5. If I have in my life or my thinking fornication, uncleanness, passion, that's craving lust, lustful things, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, I'm minding earthly things, and I'm too attached to this world. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. If I'm the type of person that is filled with anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking in my mouth, lying, I'm too attached to this world. That's why I'm doing those things. When my mind is set on things that are above, I don't have that stuff in my life. I don't do that kind of thing. But when I do that kind of thing, it's because I'm an earthly-minded person. Verse 10, when my mind is set on things that are above, I'm going to put on the new man. And I'm going to be made after the image of God who created me. That's the type of person I'm going to live. And so look at verse 12. I'm going to have things in my life like compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, forgiving. That's the type of person I'm going to be. But when I'm that person, back up in verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, I am that earthly-minded person. And I'm too attached to this life. Because it's this life and this world that has encouraged me to do those things. God doesn't want me doing those things. Where's your mind? Where's my mind? Turn with me to 1 Timothy 6. What do we love? What do we love? What do we have our love set on? Is it money? Is it material things? 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, neither can we carry anything out. You know, the sojourner mentality understands that every day. We didn't bring anything in and we can't take anything out. And that's fine for a sojourner because we're not wanting any of it anyway, are we? We didn't bring anything in. We're not going to take anything out. Having food and covering, we shall be there with content. But they that are minded to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Come with me to verse 17 now. Charge them that are rich in this present world that they be not high-minded, nor have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate, that is to share. Look at it. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. Laying up in store. That's the same thing that Jesus said, lay up your treasures in heaven. No. It's all about money and what I can put in the bank and what I own and what I can buy and the physical thing. No, it's not. It's not about that. Those things we have in our lives, we have to have money to buy things to live. But that's not what we're attached to. Turn with me to 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Are we Abraham, moving about because we're waiting to go to heaven? Or are we Lot, who buys a house in town? And no, this is my life. This is my earth. This is my city and the trouble that it got him in. Look at 1 John chapter 2. We must always have in our mind the sojourning attitude. 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12, we are sojourners. We are not going to be too attached to this world. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if we're sojourning and truly just passing through, we won't get caught up in loving the world. The lust of the eye, verse 16, the lust of the flesh, the vainglory of life. It is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away. Underscore that in your Bible. The sojourner understands, I can't take it with me. I didn't bring anything in. I'm not going to take anything out. And number two, it's not even going to be here one day. The world passes away. Peter says the earth and the works therein will be burned up. It's going to be gone, brethren. This is a temporary abode in the big picture of things. We are not to be too attached. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God. Here's where it's at. Just doing the will of God each day, abideth forever. And one day we'll go to that heavenly city. Turn with me to James. What is our source of wisdom? Where do we get our thinking each day that we get up? Does man control our thinking, or does it come from God? Look at James chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life and works meekness of wisdom. How do I know if I'm too attached to this world? How do I know if I'm a worldly Christian? If you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, always fighting, never getting along with brethren and so forth, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above, but is earthly, sensual. That's the same word that we studied this morning in the book of Jude. Someone who's sensual is, they're just simply naturalistic. They won't let God control them. It's what I feel and I think and I want. Sensual, devilish. And there are brethren like that. They're factious. They have bitter jealousy. They lie. Their thinking is worldly. And so they're attached to worldly thinking. Verse 16, for where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion in every vile deed. But the wisdom that is from above, that's what's supposed to be in our life, wisdom that comes from God, God's teaching, God's knowledge, God's word, it's pure, peaceable. And there are brethren like that. Peaceable, pure, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without variance. In other words, you can count on them. They're not all over the place, hot and cold. Without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make for peace. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Whence come wars and whence come fightings among you? They come from brethren who are too attached to this world. They're thinking like the world. They're being like the world. And so whence come wars and fightings among you? Do they not come from your pleasures which war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war and you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may spend it in your pleasures. You adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? So starting at chapter 3, 13, all the way down through 4 and verse 4, it's this idea of worldly wisdom. It gets me into fighting with people. It gets me into praying for the wrong things. There's jealousy, faction. I'm too attached to this world, and it's causing me problems, and the problems with those that I come in contact with. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, let's go back to that passage that we looked at earlier. Are there unwholesome desires in our mind and in our life? If so, then we're too attached to this world. As pilgrims and sojourners, Peter says that we are to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your behavior seemly among the Gentiles. And we're not just talking about sexual desires, although that's a main part of it. It could be other things where we're desiring the wrong things. If that's in my life, just like worldly wisdom and the love of money and setting my mind on things that are below and seeking earthly gain and putting treasures on the earth, all of that is just showing that I'm too attached. Too attached. And I'm Lot. I'm Lot. I'm not Abraham. I'm not Abraham. Moving about, doing God's word, just temporarily, understanding that this life and this earth is just temporary, and I'm doing God's will, and I'm longing one day to go to that heavenly city. No, I'm Lot. And I want to stay here. I like it. I like the well-watered plain. And I just like it, you see. And I like my desires and my earthly wisdom and my love for money, you see. And I like seeking earthly gain, you see. And I like my earthly treasures. And no, I haven't obeyed the gospel. I understand that. And I'm not right in this area. But I just love what I got. Well, Lot, by the mercy of God and a couple of angels, was snatched up out of that. We may never be. And we may be in Sodom when the Lord comes. Now, I believe the Lord is trying to snatch us up out of that with lessons like these and with Bible passages like these. He's not going to come and physically grab us like those two angels did with Lot, but he's trying to get us out of Sodom. And he's giving us a lesson in Abraham. And the lesson is yours, and the lesson is mine. Why did Abraham wander? Not because he didn't have enough money to buy a house. He didn't want that. He had a city in heaven that he was going to. He had a country in heaven that he wanted to go to. And he wasn't going to get bogged down in the things of the world. And it's a beautiful lesson for us. That we, 1 Peter 2, we're sojourners. And we're supposed to be just like Abraham. Yes, we will have things of this life. We will have physical things of this life. Food, shelter, and clothing, and other kinds of things involving homes and jobs and things. But all of that has to be viewed extremely secondary to us just passing through and each day living in tents, as it were, doing God's will. That's what's important. And one day we'll have a permanent dwelling in heaven. If we can assist you in making that change in your life, maybe you have been more like Lot, where in the past it's just been about being attached to this world. And you need to make that break. You need to make that change. If we can assist you to do that, we're going to stand in just a moment and sing a song of encouragement. You can come forward. We can talk. We can let your needs be made known. We can study about that. We can talk about that. And you can make those necessary changes. There's water here. We can baptize you into Christ. You can come up a new creature in Christ. As an erring child of God, when we err, what happens is we're getting too attached to this life. We got to come back. We got to come back. We're kind of like Lot, you know. We're passing by Sodom and we see the for sale sign, and we want to go buy a house over there. We got to resist that, and we've just got to keep sojourning. Just pass through. No, not going to be attracted by that, by those things of this life. And if we can assist someone who needs to come back, we can certainly do that. For the brethren here, let us wander. W-A-N-D-E-R, like Abraham. Let us wander. Let us have I'm just living in tents, approach to life, so that one day we can have that permanent dwelling in heaven. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?